Man, were y'all ready? Five of you. Yeah. Are y'all ready? Well, this side is, and this, what's y'all doing over here? Are y'all ready? Amen. See, that's the way we should be every morning, not just Sunday morning and not just Palm Sunday, right? That's what Joni was talking about, because here at Cowboy Church, we believe. Everybody say believe.
Believe.
We believe that Jesus is 365. Amen. Amen. Jesus ain't Palm Sunday, Easter, and Christmas. Amen. Now, for some people, that's okay. If that's what we can get them there, we love on them and we try to build them up. And we try to get them so that God, because that's God's job. The Holy Spirit's going to move them to start coming all the time. It's our job to love on them, right? Amen. It was interesting. I played yesterday afternoon or something. I was playing with the group, and I don't work with them very much. And one of the guys knew that I was in the ministry, and he goes, "Man, Ricky, all five of us are Christians up here. Isn't that cool?" And I went, "Yeah." But I wanted to tell him, you know what? If we're not all five Christians, we're still going to love on them anyway, because we're going to show them how to be a Christian and that we're supposed to do. Amen? So that's how we want to walk. And today being Palm Sunday is special. Historically, it's special, right? But when we start thinking about what it represents, okay, y'all go with me on this part. What it represents, I'm not doing a Palm Sunday message, but I am. Y'all decide. Today starts the week that Jesus is getting ready to be put on the cross, right? And so that's our hope. Jesus is our hope, right? See, that's what today starts. It has that hope. Back then in that time, those people that the Messiah had come, and it starts building that hope. Right? You agree? Good. I hope so. But see, I hope... Ooh, I don't want to give away the message. I almost did. Daggone. But see, that's what Palm Sunday represents, is the starting of the week before Jesus. It's a feast. But I was reading a scripture the other day, and it is interesting. It says, "Ye be not shaken in mind, troubled by spirit, nor by word." That's in 2 Thessalonians. And I thought on that, because it goes kind of along with 2 Timothy 1 that says, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power, love, and sound mind, right? And so when you think about that, it really ties into what Pastor Corey's been preaching about, is that we get back to the basics of our Christianity. That all the deep dives are great, believe me. My wife will tell you, I see her do it. She ain't just knee deep. She's just not even head deep. I don't know. She's way down there deep in the water. When she dives, man, she dives. She needs two, what do they call them? Lungs? Yeah, something. Air lungs, oxygen, and everything, you know. And then she's got to decompress when she comes back up. But what I'm going to talk about today is something that we, I think, tend to get, I do, get kind of, not worldly, but we take on the definition. So I'm going to lay out some definitions for y'all just to start with. This is just so you'll know, I'm kind of laying out the message today. I don't normally do this. The name of the title of the message is Hopefully Trusting. And that word trust is an assured reliance on God's character, ability, and promises. It's a belief God is trustworthy and will keep his word. Man, say amen to that. Because that's the trust that we're supposed to have in God, right? And we're supposed to be able to trust him at all costs. In everything. You can trust God before you can trust your best friend. You know, before your mom, your dad, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your next door neighbor, Bob, or whoever he is. We have to be able to trust God. Listen on. Trust is God's character and promises being the foundation for a confident hope. Like I said, hope. In his future plans and provisions. Did y'all hear that? Trust is God's character and promises being the foundation for a confident hope in His future plans and provisions. His future plans and provisions for you and 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 everybody. Right? That's what trust is. So, we can say that trust is the foundation. Everybody agree? Amen. Amen. Now, so, hope falls in the category. Hope is a fruit of trust. Hope is a fruit of trust. It's intertwined with hope. And listen to this. This is really interesting. The definition, the world definition, if you look this up in the dictionary, I talk about world definition. The definition in the world is a feeling. A hope in the world is a feeling, okay, of expectation, desire, or wish for certain things to happen. Okay, everybody, because remember, we don't go by feelings, right? Yeah, we don't go by those. But the world says hope. Well, if we do worldly hope, it can have a negative connotation. Like, man, the weather's turning bad. I hope my knees don't hurt. But you've heard people say it, haven't you? Yeah. Boy, we sure need rain, but I hope it don't rain tomorrow. I got a plow. You know, or but you stop and think of those, and that's how the worldly definition of hope has a negative connotation. See, the world uses it in a negative way, even though they oh, I hope so. Like, are you saved? Are you saved? I hope so. What? But I've heard people say that. I hope I am. What is that? But they talk about that in the worldly context. Let's listen to the biblical. In the Hebrew, hope is the meaning of confidence, security, and being without care. Doesn't sound like the same thing, does it? In the Greek, it's to expect and to trust. So if we have a biblical definition of it, this is what the biblical meaning is. Is a confident expectation with certainty that God will do what He said based upon a sure foundation for which we wait with joy and full confidence. Man, yeah, we ought to have some shouting going on right there. See, I love that because it's a confident expectation with certainty. Everybody say certainty. See, because when we trust in God, it's a confident hope. And that hope, biblically, is an expected expectation with certainty. And I love that because I know that I can have a confident expectation with certainty in my God. Don't you know those people that have the world definition of hope? That's why they are like they are. Because their hope is what their hope is instead of knowing what the true hope is. Amen? Man, what a way to walk. See, because we can take, it's like, thank you, Lord, I can take all that junk that I see the world dealing with, and I hope this, and I hope that, and I hope. But see, our hope is a certainty. Our hope is not a feeling. It's an expectation. Y'all find Psalms 37. I have been in this chapter of Psalms for a couple of weeks now lately because my Bible is so worn when I open it and turn it, it goes right to that chapter. But the Holy Spirit's going, you ain't getting away from it yet. You're not through. Psalms 37. Today I want to just, we're going to go through Psalms 37 and we're going to go through part of it. We'd be here all afternoon going, as good as this is. And I encourage you, where I stop, to go ahead and read the rest of the chapter and even dig in a little bit because there's a lot here, y'all. A lot here. So what I want to do is I'm going to read it, and then we'll come back, and we're going to start. Y'all ready? Everybody find it? Psalms 37. You ready? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm just making sure you're not asleep. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as thy noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. I'm going to stop in verse 13. Now, we're going to go back. But what an appropriate place to stop, too. The Lord will laugh at him. I love it. So verse 1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. If we think of that word fret in the English language, some of us would be, as we grew up, oh, don't fret that, or oh, don't fret. Ooh, you know? So fret could imply don't be afraid. Don't be duh. That's not what it means in the Hebrew. And I love this. This is... Fret in the Hebrews means to heat or inflame oneself. Oh, that puts a different spin on that, doesn't it? So instead of fret not thyself, you know, that means don't worry. No, don't work yourself up. Bless you. That's what we, to me, that's, we could write a real cowboy version where God said, fret not. And we say, don't get yourself all worked up, boy. That's the way it could say in the cowboy. But see, when we get worked up, it says because of evildoers. Think about what's going on in today's world. Can you not fret yourself up? But see, that's what this is telling us, is to not ignite or to heat or inflame ourselves. See, don't let it... Well, man, I got the allergy or something, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Y'all excuse me. There, that's better. Oh, wait, no. Where was I? Well, it's hard to talk with a runny nose. I'm sorry, y'all. But I know surely none of y'all are suffering with, you know, having a little allergy or anything going on. I rebuke it every morning, man. That's right. So fret says to don't, I'm not going to fret about my allergies. I'm not going to get worked up about my allergies. Just because they're evil and they come from Satan, I'm not going to get worked. But see, that's what can happen if we allow that to happen, right? We can get so worked up. I passed somebody the other day. I was taking Laurie to town. And there was I was going to change lanes, and it was still just... It was daylight. And so I looked back, didn't see anything. And so I just turned my blinker and I just started easing. I didn't whip. And then there I just saw this guy right at my bumper. So I just eased back over. No intent, nothing. She said when he went by, he waved at me. He waved at me. And it wasn't a full hand wave. You know, and I was like, I didn't do nothing. You know, it really didn't even make me mad. I wasn't even ugly. I mean, I didn't like whip into him or anything like that. And I turned my blinker on and I didn't see him. But she said he waved. See, so we get fretted up by stuff like that. And I know that we want to. I mean, I used to want to. This could be a little part of me that still is. It says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, when you have, as Pastor Corey calls them, heathen friends. You know, and he tells us, well, everybody needs a heathen friend. Bring them to church, get them saved, and then get you another heathen friend. It's a great concept. I love it. Yeah, right? But we have friends that go out and do things, and you go, if you're envious of what your friends are doing, see, because they're getting away with it. It says not to do that. It says, don't get worked up just because, or that you see what they're doing. Here's the other side of that, because I know Christians too will see that happening and they'll get worked up. They don't need to be doing that. Blah, 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 blah. No, it's not our job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. It's our job to pray for them, right? See, it's not us to beat them over the head and say, hey, you got to stop that, you know? Because, well, you should sweep around your own doorstep before you go looking around others. Amen? And that's what I always heard growing up, and it's what God says. He says, don't be envious of those people doing that. Everybody with me? Verse 2. For they shall, and this is here, this is telling us what's going to happen. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as green herb. See, God's telling us, don't worry about it. I got this. They're going to be cut down. They're going to be taken care of. So quit working yourself up over all this little stuff, right? Like, you watch the political stuff, and I know people, I watch it, I read it, but I just sit and laugh. Because y'all, it's got it, it's funny. I mean, what the things that are taking place right now are funny to me. Because some people are playing chess, and some people are playing checkers. I'm just telling you. But the reality of world, and see, this is one thing as I look at how the world looks at hope, but I look at it how Ricky looks at hope, and I go, God's got this. I watch this, and I see it, and I go, eh, ain't no big deal. That's why it makes me laugh. I go, look what he did today. Look what they did today. Look, I mean, it's crazy. But it's a plan. So why get fretted up? Because, for they shall soon be cut down. Everybody say, cut down. Like the grass and wither as the green herb. Man, that ought to make you just jump and shout. Amen. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That word trust is confident hope. Amen. That's the first. If you're taking notes, that's number one. I want you to get this morning is confident hope. Confident hope. Y'all, hold your hand. So we're going to be in two places this morning. I know it's a stretch for some of you, but keep your place in Psalms 37, and we're going to be in Romans too. Just a few times, but you know it's a challenge for some of you. But hang in there. We're patient. Go to Romans 8. You know what I love? That's what last week week before when Pastor Corey was ministering, and he said, you know, I want y'all turn there. I want you to see it. I can't tell y'all how important that is for us, for our eyes to see that word. Because when we see it, we hear it, and then it goes in and it soaks in, y'all. But if you're just sitting there and you don't, and I don't have you turn to that and you just listen to Ricky say it, it doesn't have near the impact as that when you see it with your own eyes. Right? Everybody fine? I gave you enough time. Chapter 8, verse 24. It says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. See, this is hope is also a component of faith, because now faith says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, that's what our hope is that's part of our faith, is confident hope. And that's what trust is in God, is it's a reliance. And then when we hope, we expect with certainty, everybody say certainty, that God's going to do what he says he'll do. Amen. I wrote a few notes this week, so I don't normally write as many, but so y'all gonna have to bear with me this morning. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That word delight in the Hebrew means find pleasure, joy, and satisfaction in the Lord. Now, isn't that a great place to find joy and satisfaction and pleasures in the Lord? Oh, but wait, I didn't finish that. To actively seek him. Oh, wait. Yeah, because how can you have joy and pleasure and satisfaction in the Lord if you only seek him once a month? Just saying. You know what I'm saying? See, because that's what that definition of delight says. That's the other part, is to actively seek him. Actively, do y'all know what active is to some of y'all? Because, I mean, active means active. Active means to do. So, in order to actively seek the Lord, we have to do. We have to get the word out, and we have to start looking for the Lord. Right cheer. Amen? Everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, y'all. So to delight in the Lord is the joy, to get joy and pleasure and satisfaction from the Lord. And the definition said, and to give, and to actively seek him, but it should, to me, I would put when we actively seek him. See, because when I actively, I know if I miss the word or two in a day, and I don't, when I say that, I read every day, but when I really get to, I miss a few days of just kind of digging a little bit, I feel it. I feel it. It's like, man, what did I miss today? Oh, yeah, I didn't spend as much time. And everybody's time is different, so we don't compare ourselves to other people. I know, I don't, because like I told y'all, my wife, ooh, Jesus, she digs, okay? And if I compared myself to her, I quit a long time ago. But I do me. You see, so me and I do the word the way I do the word. Doesn't mean that I spend hours and hours. But what the point I'm trying to make, I'm not sorry, I shouldn't have brought you up, but is that we have to actively seek the Lord. That means do it every day. And then we can enjoy the pleasure and the satisfaction, the joy of the Lord. You know, Nehemiah tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if we're seeking the Lord actively and we're partaking in the joy, then that's our strength. Whew, man. Y'all see how that works? See, because as we actively seek him, that joy's building up and it becomes our strength. Amen? Okay, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Okay, y'all with me? Okay, so when we commit something, you know, because you've always, the old saying in the old days is they should be committed. And that wasn't a good thing, right? I mean, oh, come on, some of y'all never heard. Golly, I know the kids might not have heard that, but growing up. But when you think of commit something, like you've heard somebody commit a crime, they committed a crime. The word commit in the Hebrew, it means to roll over. It means to roll, like roll your burdens over onto the Lord. See, it doesn't tell us, it just says thy way unto the Lord. But when we stop and we look at it, it means to roll our burdens. It means to roll our good, our bad, and the ugly over onto the Lord. Amen? Pardon me. God. Okay. So when we commit something, it's like 1 Peter tells us to cast our cares. But here it says that when we commit our way to the Lord, that means we're committing everything. You have to commit everything. You have to share everything. You roll it all over because there's a point to this. Y'all just look at me like a calf at a new gate. See, it says roll one's burdens, take the whole of our life and give it to God. As I said, the good, bad, and ugly. Y'all with me? Stay with me. We're reading. It says trust also in him and it shall bring it to pass. We know that trust. We talked about trust. What was it? Confident hope. Thank you. Me and Howdy were talking about this earlier. I almost did that, Howdy. Thank you. Trust, confident hope in Him. And it says He'll do what? Bring it to pass. So if we're actively seeking Him and we delight in Him, because we delight in Him, we're seeking that we get satisfaction and joy of the Lord. We get to enjoy that by actively seeking Him. And then we roll, we commit our burdens and our good and our bad over onto Him. Then, and we trust He's going to bring it to pass. Whatever that you're believing for, if it lines up that you're in the Word with God, amen? Woo, Jesus. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as thy light and thy judgment as the noonday. I read that He appears as your righteousness and manifest as your justice. So see, it's talking about that He brings forth thy righteousness, but He is my righteousness. Amen? Amen. And it tells me that thy judgment in the noonday, He is. He's my justice. See, it's what it's talking about everywhere. Just like verse 2 said, they'll be cut down. That's God. That's the justice. Y'all with me? Come on. Come on. Okay. You're going to make me do it, Howdy. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now that verse 7, rest in the Lord. I read that in the Passion and it was so cool. It said, quiet thy heart and patiently wait. Wow. True, and this is what truly believe. So to rest in the Lord, you have to truly believe that He helps, that He saves, delivers in the most urgent need. He is my provider. So number 2 is true hope. I want you to get true hope. See, true hope comes from God, and hope filled with joy and peace. Amen? But see, so this is where that verse 7 ties back to verse 4. Verse 4 says, delight says to have the joy and satisfaction of the Lord, right? The pleasure, the joy. To actively seek. So if we're actively seeking Him, we have the joy, and we can now rest in the Lord because we have been actively seeking Him. And to delight yourself means to take pleasure and satisfaction and joy in the Lord. And when we do that, then the next verse falls in, we've committed everything to the Lord, then bam, all of a sudden, we can rest in the Lord, y'all. We have that true hope that God says He'll do what He says He'll do. Amen. Come on. I know y'all are fanning, you should be under this coat. God will do what He says He'll do. That's true hope. Amen. Romans, did y'all hold your place like I told you to? Way to go. Good job. Okay, we're going to be Romans 15:13. Oh, wait a minute. I can't believe this happened. We'll read it. It's okay. God's so good. Let me read this to y'all. Says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Ha! Who would have thunk it? I mean, it just worked out. Man, what a scripture. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. See? God's telling us over here in one place, and over here he says, I'll do it for you. I'll fill you with it. If we seek him, if we actively seek him, he's telling us, I got this. Come on, class. Hang on. I got this. That's what God's saying. I love you that much that I sent Jesus, and that y'all been talking about Palm Sunday, and he's our hope. See, he does that. That's what he does. What a God. Amen? Amen. Are y'all having fun? Amen. I hope so. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Oh, wait, let's go back to that part, last part of 7. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. When people prosper by doing the wrong thing, don't let it bother you. Do not let it bother you. You can't correct it. It may, but that's why it's, well, it used that word again. What was it? Fret. Yeah, fret. We don't get inflamed or fired up, or just because you see in somebody, because I've seen people play, when I've played golf, I've seen people cheat. And when I've, what point does it make for me to say anything? I don't say anything. I figure if they got to do that, that's on them. You know, because I ain't playing against them anyway. Playing against the course. But you see, or you see somebody making money doing shady deals. Guess what? Back there in verse 2, it said that they'd be cut down like the grass. They will. Why fret over it? Why lose sleep over it? Amen? See, I want y'all to be built up this morning. I want y'all to do what that says and commit and roll your stuff over on to God and let him have it. But you're not just the bad stuff. You got to let him have it because God wants the good stuff. You know, I that'd be a tough job. God's God. Can you imagine? I mean, if you ever, because I think about things like this sometimes. But you stop and think, God always hears about everybody's problems. How many people talk to God and tell him about the good things that have happened in their life that he's done for them? We start stopping and thinking about that. And hey, I'm not calling I'm as guilty as anybody. I've done it in the past. And that's one thing I try. I mean, down to the parking spot at Walmart. I praise God when I get that front spot. Amen? But if a God cares enough to take our burdens and take all the junk that we're going through and all the crud, then don't you think he wants to hear about the little things in life or the big things in life? He wants to hear your success. He already knows. We know that. But he wants you to tell him. He wants you to tell him, Father, look what happened to me, and it was because of you. I give you the glory. Amen? See, that's what he wants. That's our true hope. True hope is in God. Amen? Y'all with me? All right. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. There's that word fret again. He must be serious about this. Fret in this right here means the same thing, basically. It means growing warm and blazing up. Have y'all ever seen somebody grow warm and blaze up? Y'all didn't know they were fretting, did you? You just stop and think how many people you've seen when you've been out in public and they want to be rude and ugly, and all of a sudden, next time you see that, go, oh, they're fretting up, y'all. I know, I learned that at church. I learned that in Psalms. They're fretting up. Look at them. See, that's what that is. And I think it's so important because I've been guilty of that, right? I mean, like, as warm as I'm getting right now, I could fret up, but I'm not. Because we're in the Lord. Ain't it cool? Yeah, it's cool. Not just cool, but it's cool. Everybody with me? All the kids are. They're like, yeah, we got it, man. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 9. That waiting upon the Lord, it means endures. And that's the third thing I want you to get today is hope endures. When we wait on the Lord, that's enduring. And here's what it says. Hold one's ground in conflict, hold out under stress, stand firm, wait calmly and courageously. It is not a passive resignation to fate and mere patience. Well, here's that word again too. But the active, energetic resistance to defeat that allows calm and brave endurance. Amen? So see, hope endures. When we wait on the Lord, when we've been doing what this little has guidelines, I think I'll call it that, the non-fretting guidelines. When we follow this, then we find out that we can wait on the Lord because we've got the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. That's delighting in the Lord. We actively seek. When we commit, we roll everything over. Okay? So now we know that we can rest in the Lord while He's doing everything. But yet resting, we found out to delight in the Lord means to actively seek. That word active. So while we are enduring, we endure by actively seeking God. Amen? See, when things are going on and you've turned it over, just because you're still reading and praying does not mean that you're repeating step one. Have y'all ever had those instructions where you do step one, step two, and verse three says go back to step one and repeat? Right? Yeah. So when you have waiting upon the Lord doesn't mean that you're redoing this all over again. No. When you're waiting in the Lord and you're enduring, you're building yourself up during this time. Amen? See, that's what we're supposed to do is when we actively seek and we're going through junk, we don't relive the junk because we committed it to God. But instead, we endure, we are active, that we are building up, and we're courageous through that time. We don't let it wear us down. Amen? I'm getting close. Verse 10, for yet a little while and the wicked shall not be, yea, they shall diligently consider his place and it shall be done. But the meek, okay, and that word we all know, most of us know, if you hadn't heard, meek does not mean wimpy. Okay? Meek doesn't mean, it just doesn't mean that, wimpy. We'll leave it there. Okay? Shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. But the humble will at last inherit the land and will delight themselves in an abundant prosperity and peace. Amen. Praise God. Come on, y'all. That is such good hope. Doesn't that make your hope good? Doesn't it make your hope confident? That's what we want. Meekness is gentleness of spirit that signifies remarkable strength. Has nothing to do with being wimpy. All right? Like, oh, I can't do that, you know. You've met wimpy people before. That's not what this means, y'all. Not at all. It means that signifies a remarkable strength. Amen? Amen. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, and for he seeth that his day is coming. That's hallelujah right there because the Lord's got it. See, when we quit fretting about stuff, it tells us the Lord knows. He knows. Verse 13, y'all, it goes, flip over to Romans 12. This is the last time I'm going to have you flip to Romans. I'm almost there. Y'all almost there? There. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Amen. You know, it takes a lot off your plate when you don't have to worry about fixing everything else, doesn't it? When you start going, you know, I don't have to worry about this over here. I don't have to fret about this over here. Okay, y'all have an assignment this week. You got to use fret 10 times this week. in the right context in your conversations this week with people you come across, okay? Just kidding. But when we learn to have that attitude, that when we understand that what that word really means, to get worked up, to get fired up, to get blazing, and then we understand, oh, that's not a good look. Amen? That instead we endure, that we have trust, that confident hope in our Lord. Amen? As I was thinking about this, a week ago, I'm going to share a quick story and I'm going to close. A week ago, Laurie and I had been cleaning house, and I was in the bathroom doing some things, and got one of them stupid robot vacuum cleaners. Anybody got one of them? Come on, don't be afraid to admit, a few of you do. The rest of you like I'm not admitting. See, it's okay. And we thought ours is the kind that maps. They cost enough, it ought to GPS. And so this thing came in the bathroom while I was in there cleaning, and it kept hitting me. I'm like, I'd get out of the way, and here it go, and then it'd go, and I'd move, and I'd do something else. Here it was back, and I'm like, what in the world? So I decided to get cleaned up, and I would just share this with my closest friends. So, yo, you're close. So I'm in the shower, taking a shower, and I'm in there, and I look through the glass doors, and the dang thing's back in there again. And it would run up on the rug, and the rug would roll up, and it would get hung, and then it would back up. And then in a minute, here it come again. It'd go right back up on that same rug, and it'd come right back down. And you know, I'm standing in there taking a shower, and the Holy Spirit, I pray a lot in the shower, y'all. I mean, you should. But the Holy Spirit put on me, that's world hope. That robot vacuum cleaner running through there and bumping into things, and it hits something and it backs up and just does the same thing. See, that's what world hope is. That's what the world sees as hope. When they do something, they back up and go do it again. But we know that biblical hope, that's not the case, right? Because if you remember, I said biblical hope is a confident expectation with certainty that God will do what he said he did and he would do. Can you imagine? Because you may know people that go through life like that vacuum cleaner that don't have the hope that we know. Amen? And that's not a way to live. Y'all, I want you, if you've never had that hope, I want you to understand you've got it. Romans, where we read a while ago, he fills us with joy and peace, with hope. See, that's what I wish for everybody in here to have that. It's such a great place. Such a great place. I'm going to read y'all 1 Peter 1:3. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. You can. If I can find it, it's a great scripture. They're all great. But for today, this one's great. Verse 3 in 1 Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know. You know. Hang on. Let me get through being choked up. So I blame it on the Holy Spirit, but then I get in trouble, so I don't know. But it is probably the Holy Spirit. Okay. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy," praise God, "hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Amen? What a God. That's my God. Is that your God? Is that your God? And if it's Jesus, the Lord of your life? Because if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, man, what a day to do it on. Palm Sunday. You'd remember that one, right? But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, man, I beg you to do it today. Make today your God day. We always give somebody an opportunity to accept the Lord. If you've never done it, we want you to make it today. But you won't be doing anything crazy. We're just going to have you say a prayer out loud. And we're going to have the believers say it with you, because they need to get to know it so they can lead other people to the Lord. So right now, I'm going to ask you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, out of respect to everyone else, because you may be sitting by somebody that's never accepted Jesus, and we want them to today. So out of your mouth, say, if you've and mean this out of your heart, if you've never accepted Jesus, believers, y'all know how to do this. Do it with me. Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in. Save me. I believe that you died on that cross and you rose from the dead. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Father, I thank you that today is my God day on Palm Sunday, in Jesus' mighty name. Before we say amen, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that was you, that you just accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to count to three. Stick your hand up real quick. We're going to give you a Bible. Because the Word says, do not be afraid to acknowledge me before man, and I'll acknowledge you before the Father. So right now, if you just gave your life to the Lord, I want you to get that hand up on the count of three. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? Praise God. We're all saved. Look at me. Amen. Amen. Did y'all have fun this morning? Thank y'all for letting me minister to you. Howdy. You want to come on up?